is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson. Thanks for joining. Over the last 10 years, Detroit has been doing a number of different things to try to reduce crime and improve safety. While Mayor Mike Duggan has been in office, those strategies have included things like Project Greenlight, the distribution of gun locks, the controversial Shot Spotter program, and adding mental health co-responders to work in tandem with police. Well, now there is a new program that the city is implementing to prevent crime before it happens. Shot Stopper is a $10 million community-based gun violence intervention meant to curb gun violence in some of the most severely impacted neighborhoods. This program is really kind of revolutionary in the sense that it puts its arms around community groups that may already be working to try to prevent this kind of violence and gets them funding to do more of what they're doing. So what is included in this program? How effective might it be? And how has the city been doing over the last 10 years to try to prevent and lower gun violence and crime in a bigger sense? To talk about all this, we've got WDET reporter Eli Newman here with us. He is a reporter and producer here at the station, and he has been covering the Detroit police and safety in the city for quite a while. Eli, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me on, Stephen.
Yeah, so let's start with what Shot Stopper is. How does it work, and how much of the city could be affected by it?
Right. Well, so with Shot Stopper, I mean, we're at the very beginning of a newly announced program. Again, this was something that came out of the mayor's state of the city, which happened just earlier this month. The application process for Shot Stopper has not necessarily hit its deadline yet. I think we're going to see grantees by the end of April. So we don't necessarily have a full idea. And in its communications with some of these groups, the city is pretty broad in terms of what it's requiring from these groups. They want there to be nonprofits and community organizations with at least 2 years of violence prevention efforts under their belt, or 5 years of federal grant experience under their belt. The idea is that every year we'll see 3 to 5 grantees that receive somewhere between $700,000 to $1.4 million that basically get a bit of a neighborhood, 3 to 5 square miles, and say, hey, can we actually put a dent in what we're seeing with homicides here or non-fatal shootings?
This idea of community groups getting involved, if you've lived in the city for any time at all, you know there are lots of community groups that are really working to try to organize Detroiters and try to deal with not the arrest side of crime prevention, but the community side of making things better. What's the difference, I guess, between those kinds of activities and what we might see with something like Shot Stopper?
Well, I think it's a formalization of that relationship, right? We're actually getting dollars towards these groups that have been doing that grassroots level work of working within their communities to bring about this kind of violent reduction. But this is more of like a formalization of that process that we're saying, that the city is saying, hey, community violence intervention is something that's important to us. We want to give you the autonomy to create your own programs that, you know, something that's going on in Southwest Detroit is very different that's going on the Far East Side. It's different around the Rouge Park area. So I think there's all of these different ideas and mindsets and very unique circumstances that exist within each of these communities. And so the city wants to say, hey, if you've been doing this work, let's formalize that relationship. Let's get you some dollars. And if there is actual a dent, if we, you know, the city actually has this formula where you're actually able to get more funding if there is a reported drop in homicide and shootings. So there is like this incentive that like, hey, if you're actually really able to do this work, you'll get more dollars to help you to continue doing that work.
So what is the chief? Police Chief James White sit on this program. Does he support it? Does he feel like this is the kind of thing that could really help his officers who have not so far been able to get as far as he would like in terms of crime reduction and particularly gun violence. What's his take on it?
Sure. I would say that generally the mayor and the police chief really work in lockstep on a lot of city programs. Mm-hmm. So I haven't heard any criticism or anything like that coming out of the police department. And in fact, I think that the police chief really has been advocating for these alternative different methods to bring about this change in crime, that there is a need for more mental health respondents, that it's not something that the police department can shoulder on its own. So there's always been a willingness to expand and attack crime really on a it's a multifaceted issue with a lot of different factors. And I think that the police department and the police chief are supportive of any effort in this fight.
Yeah. I'm talking with Eli Newman. He's a reporter and producer here at WDET. He covers breaking news and politics and community affairs. He's also been covering anti-crime measures here in the city of Detroit, including Detroit's new Shot Stopper program. We're talking about Shot Stopper right now and the idea of getting more parts of our community involved in lowering crime and gun violence in particular in our neighborhoods. We would love to hear from you during the program as well. What do you make of this new Shot Stopper program, the idea of giving money to community groups to work in tandem with police to reduce gun violence? Do you think that is going to have an effect on overall crime? Also, if not, let us know what you think would reduce gun violence in particular here in Detroit, which has been really confounding authorities for a long time. 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can include you in the conversation that way. I want to talk a little about residents and you know, just rank and file Detroiters and what they think about this. Here's a clip of a Detroit resident who pushed for Shot Stopper to be created. He was interviewed recently by Fox 2 News.
Those of us who have been doing this work and who are on the front line and in the trenches doing this work, that we are public health workers. And if we are public health workers, we need to be treated like first responders, and we should be compensated and resourced so that we can do this work around the clock.
Eli, that was someone who obviously was pretty enthusiastic about this idea. But how popular do you imagine it is among Detroit residents?
Sure. Well, you know, I was just watching one of the presentations. I found that there were a lot of attendees, that there's a lot of people that are trying to get in on this funding. I mean, obviously, it's a lot of money, $700,000, basically at a minimum that these groups are able to get. And I think that is generally the prevailing view of residents, that, you know, crime is not just something that exists within the police department. There, or is not just the role of the police department to prevent. You know, community leaders, members of the clergy, nonprofits. It takes a village, so to speak, right? To affect some of these really difficult numbers that we're seeing in Detroit, and the reality of the situation here is that, when we're talking about that 10-year span of like what has happened with crime and violence here, it has either generally stagnated or it's increased. I mean, just this year alone, we have like a 17% rise in homicides. There were 309 murders last year. Those are numbers that are higher than they've been. You know, if you look at 2015, it's higher than the numbers there.
Yeah.
So I think there is this really when there's more than 1,000 shootings that happen every year, I think it's something that really does affect a lot of communities, and everybody wants to take a hand in trying to reduce all of that.
Yeah. So I also want to compare something like Shot Stopper to Shot Spotter, which and every time I try to say one of those, I have to stop and think, which one am I talking about?
Yeah, so they're very, they're very different.
They're very different, but they sound the same. But what is the relationship between these kinds of programs? Shot Stopper
and Shot Spotter.
And Project Greenlight are kind of on one side, and Shot Stopper is on another.
Right. So we have a lot of technology that is being used in surveillance. I think that's kind of where we're really seeing there's these kind of two different camps in terms of how we address crime. One is what we've seen from the mayor's office shot spotter, green light, you know, these programs where it's like, hey, you have a video camera or a microphone in a neighborhood. And, you know, that's gauging in these kinds of activity. I mean, I'm looking at a weekly report right now of just the shot spotter usage in Detroit in the 8th precinct, which is one of those higher crime areas. There was a, you know, 430 incidents that were recorded this year, 1,800 shots fired that it noted, and 6 guns recovered. So there, I think there are a lot of questions about the efficacy of these programs, right? There's a lot of literature that we see in other cities where Chicago has had a shot spotter for a while, and we haven't necessarily, they didn't necessarily conclude that it had a major result on lowering crime. I mean, we look at programs that are kind of comparable to Shot Stopper, which is the long-running ceasefire program in Detroit, right? This is also a community violence intervention program where local leaders were, I mean, it was more specific to certain precincts that there was a lot of gun violence, but the idea is that, you know, we're going to have a bunch of people in a room, we're going to hash out our disagreements, not using violence, and does that have an effect? And, you know, we've had studies of these programs. The Justice Department did had a study. The National Institute of Justice has found that a program like Ceasefire, a program like Greenlight, has no effects in actually deterring crime. So there are a lot of longstanding questions about, you know, when we start to implement these kinds of programs, are we getting a return on this investment?
Well, and that's an interesting way to think of this new program and what the reception for it might be. It is very different. It is a very different approach, but because people are so familiar with the controversy over these other kinds of programs, I wonder if there will be a real skepticism about Shot Stopper.
Well, you know, I think it's different in a lot of ways. We're not necessarily contracting out with like a company that might seem kind of foreign, or, you know, that's you know, publicly traded or anything like that. This feels a little bit more grassroots, that we're uplifting people who are doing the work within the community to, you know, have the resources to be able to continue to do that work. But again, I think because how open-ended this program is in its inception, we really have to see case by case with each of these groups that are getting these grants, like what they're actually doing, because they might vary from one to the next significantly. And so we can't really necessarily gauge any of this until we start seeing that. And I think part of the way that this is conceived of is that it's very data-driven, right? That you're going to have a 5-square-mile radius, and we can check the numbers from quarter to quarter, month to month, to see if there are less homicides, if there are less shootings. And I think that there is a data-driven approach that the city is taking in terms of continuing this program and doing that gut check as time goes on.
Yeah. So what do community groups need to do to participate in this? We've got about a minute and a half left. I want to make sure we tell people how they can engage with this.
Right. Yeah. So there is an application process that is open right now. You know, people go to the, you know, city website. And it's one of those things, again, with ShotSpotter, ShotStopper, you might get a couple of Google redirects on that. But, you know, the city does have a page where, you know, you have to be, an approved contractor. There's an application program that you're supposed to delineate that map of like where you're going to be operating, what you intend to do, you know, what your history is. And then eventually, you know, your application gets processed, it gets chosen. I'm sure there's going to be, you know, a couple dozen people who are different groups that are trying to get at these resources. And eventually, there'll be a selection made, and eventually it'll be like a city council process. It's a contract just like any other to see whether or not it gets approved. And we'll start seeing that happen around June.
All right. Eli Newman of WDET, great to have you here to explain this new program. I'm sure you'll come back and let us know how it goes. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, that is going to do it for us today. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to talk with the U.S. Ambassador to NATO, Julie Smith, and explore America's foreign policy approach to places like Russia and China. Smith is from our neck of the woods here in the Michigan, so that'll be an interesting conversation with her. Also, remember, if you like our show, enjoy listening, you should share it with your friends and your family, your neighbors. anyone you think would really enjoy it as well. You can find it on WDET.org or on our Detroit Today podcast, which you can download wherever you get your podcasts. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.